Be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. A starting point for taking on the responsibility of the work of Christian apologetics is recognizing the role that living out a disciplined Christian life plays. Even a brief examination of the scriptures reveals a striking imperative. One may not divorce the content of apologetics from the character of the apologist. Apologetics derives from the Greek word apologia, quote, to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 gives us the defining statement, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer, apologia, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I have always found this to be such a fascinating verse because the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew the hazards and risks of being an answer bearer to the sincere questions people would pose of the gospel. Indeed, when one contrasts the answers of Jesus to those of any of his detractors, it is easy to see that their resistance is not of the mind, but rather of the heart. Furthermore, I have little doubt that the single greatest obstacle to the impact of the gospel has not been in its inability to provide answers, but the failure on our parts to live it out. The British evangelist Gypsy Smith once said, there are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian, but most people will never read the first four. In other words, apologetics is often seen before it is heard. For that very reason, the scripture gives us a clear picture of the apologetic Christian, one who has first set apart Christ in his or her heart as Lord, who responds with answers to the questioner with gentleness and respect. Therefore, one must not overlook the stark reality that the way one's life is lived out will determine the impact. Few obstacles to faith are as serious as expounding the unlived life. Too many simply see the quality of one's life and firmly believe that it is all theory, bearing no supernatural component. I remember well in the early days of my Christian faith, talking to a Hindu man. He was questioning the strident claims of the followers of Christ as being something supernatural. He absolutely insisted conversion was nothing more than a decision to lead a more ethical life, and that in most cases it was not any different to those claims of other, quote, ethical religions. So far, his argument was not anything new. But then he said something I have never forgotten and often reflect upon. He said this, if this conversion is truly supernatural, why is it not more evident in the lives of so many Christians I know? His question's a troublesome one. After all, no Buddhist claims a supernatural life, but frequently lives among